Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 295 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Shauna Kremitsky. Thanks, Shauna.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, today we are going to be discussing our favorite character moments throughout the books since, oh, I'm going to read this, since Tiffany talked for 5 years about Dumbledore. Tiffany is not allowed to talk in this episode.
You can just react.
I'll react. All right. So, make sure that you've read all those books, you've listened to Teeth Takeover, and you're ready to flim-flam your way through the details. And what does that mean?
Flim flam is a funny verb that you can use instead of swindle or cheat.
Oh, very good for a Slytherin heavy ep.
So why do they call flim flams flim flams in Diagon Alley?
Maybe because
what are flim flams?
It's Diagon the Alley? Light shop.
The who?
The maybe, light shop. You like cast a spell and make it light up in the back of Diagon Alley.
Is it fake light?
Maybe.
Cheating fire. You're using electric instead of fire. I don't know. Anyways. Before we begin, let's go to Megan for the weekly profit news.
So short and sweet, but Harry Potter the Exhibition has announced its next location, and it will be opening in Macau, China.
Crazy.
I don't believe that they have announced like a date yet. It's in New York City right now and Paris, and it just says coming soon to Macau, China.
So exciting.
Hold on. I'm going to click learn more. Is there more? I hope.
Is there more to learn
besides location?
Oh, yes. Okay. Change language. I was like, I'm not going to. It just says coming to Macau. Asia Pacific premiere.
So cool.
Date and location to be announced. So yeah, keep an eye out on that. That's super awesome.
If we, by some crazy chance, have listeners there, I'd love to hear if you go.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be great.
So please make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, they may too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. We are always accepting Potter stories, or if you just want to send us any fun things, questions, or concerns, you can send those to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Thank you. Very well read.
Meg, you just deliver it so well.
Nice. Even when Fozzie was pawing at a plastic bag.
He was like, this is in my way.
Fozzie got poison in his claws on his paws. It's time for the weekend.
Thanks, Fuzz. I didn't write this recap. Meg wrote it for me.
No,
so I'm
don't
gonna,
call me out like that.
I'm going to write it verbatim. I'm going to read it. I just said write it. I'm going to read it verbatim. Also, you can tell Meg did it because it's in bold.
and there's many caps.
Should I shout for
and spelled weren't wrong.
Whatever. I typed it 2 seconds
ago. Apostrophes are hard.
Okay. Tiffany talked for hours and hours about Dumbledore. So much we weren't even allowed to talk about our favorite characters. She just stole the episode from us. It was the Teef Show. Teef Show in all caps.
You should be so lucky to get a Teef Show.
Oh my God. Wonderful.
I also just want to say, because Tiffany called me out on my Hermione notes last episode, we removed yours. It was 10 pages of notes on Dumbledore.
So how many are yours?
About 10.
Are you real?
I'm just saying, you shouldn't have called me out. It was basically the same as yours.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fair.
So today's summary is that I am going to be talking about my favorite moments of Hermione from the books.
Maybe we'll get to Katie.
One through six. And hopefully Katie will be talking about Remus.
I have her favorite three moments. Three pages of
notes. Well, okay, but to be fair, yes. Remus is in less of the books.
Which is crap.
Oh.
I'm not going to lie. I might be editing some of these as I go to remove some because there's a lot. So
yes, we are on time crunch.
Yeah. So
are we getting ice cream? No,
but we're on a time crunch. No.
I did talk about Taylor Swift yesterday for over an hour with Ezra. You're correct. Our Felix Files coming out in June is going to be me and Ezra talking about Taylor Swift while Lottie and Katie sat there.
We were like,
oh my God.
Okay. Hermione is who I chose. Hermione is definitely like, I think my second favorite, and like we all know Lily is my favorite, but like
what am
I gonna talk about? So it's
that's
Hermione.
Canon.
Right. So I wanted to start with Hermione, our introduction of her, because it's just such a cute moment and I love it. And a lot of this is just gonna be me pulling quotes from the book. So here we go. Are you sure that's a real spell? Said the girl. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not very good, is it? I've tried a few simple spells just for practice, and it's all worked for me. Nobody in my family's magic at all. It was ever such a surprise when I got my letter, but I was ever so pleased, of course. I mean, it's the very best school of witchcraft there is, I've heard. I've learned all our course books by heart, of course. I just hope it will be enough. I'm Hermione Granger, by the way. Who are you?
If this person,
the perfect introduction to her,
you could just like, she's just like rattling, right?
Yes.
It's like Tolkien describing a tree, right? She's just going,
like,
going,
was that
going,
one?
Going.
It was one sentence.
Well, yeah. To sing about the end. I would just be like,
I'd be like, hello. Yeah, I'm Megan. Okay, and then I thought that the next important part of Hermione and Sorcerer's Stone was the moment with the troll. Because that is the start of their friendship. We all know that Harry and Ron are not super kind. Well, mostly Ron is not kind to her before this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the moment that they became friends. Hermione, however, stood alone by the door waiting for them. There was a very embarrassed pause. Then, none of them looking at each other, they all said, thanks, and hurried off to get plates. But from that moment on, Hermione Granger became their friend. There are some things you can't share without ending up liking each other, and knocking out a 12-foot mountain troll is one of them.
I love that story of them. Like, yeah. I just love how they became friends.
Yeah.
Like, it was just fate, you know? Like, it just happened. And then you're just friends.
Like, literally, you cannot experience that and then not, like, ever talk to that person again, you know?
Right? Like, what if they're like in their sixth year and be like, you know that girl over there? Like, we fought a mountain troll.
Right? You're like, no, that is definitely the start of a very important friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank God they made friends, because
can you imagine?
They wouldn't know. Harry'd be dead.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then this is one of my favorite moments of Hermione. And it's at the very end when they are going through the puzzle of sorts that Dumbledore's created for them.
Wild times, man.
And it's okay. So they are in the potions room, and like they're almost to Voldemort, or they think Snape in this moment.
Mm.
And they say, who's with him? Well, I was lucky. Wait, why does it say that? Okay, well, I was lucky once, wasn't I? Said Harry, pointing at his scar. I might get lucky again. Hermione's lip trembled, and she suddenly dashed at Harry and threw her arms around him. Hermione! Harry, you're such a great wizard, you know. I'm not as good as you, said Harry, very embarrassed as she let go of him. Me, said Hermione, books and cleverness. There are more important things, friendship and bravery. And oh, Harry, be careful.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry. Harry. Oh, Harry. Be careful.
Oh, my God.
I just love that moment. It's like those three moments, I think, are just like full circle of like her growth through the first book.
Totally.
Getting from like I'm basically word vomiting on you to friendship and bravery are the most important things, and like Harry, you have them and you're my best friend, please be careful,
and not taking over the situation. I feel like she's very take charge, but
she was like, no, this
back.
Is you.
Yeah, step back and lets him go.
She's 11,
my heart,
and she does that. Like, that's just,
what were you doing at 11?
Playing Pokemon.
I was reading Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I don't think I was at 11.
You were probably
I was probably playing
a little bit older.
I was in six. I don't know.
Well, now I don't know. I really wish I could remember the first time I read it.
I know.
You know.
I just don't.
I wish that I had read it just like right before we went to go see the movies so that I could have created the characters in my head myself and then like had something to compare.
Yeah.
But like in my head, it was always Dan Rupert and Emma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Chamber. She's not in it a bunch, but she's got some great moments.
She's sleeping a lot.
She is sleeping a lot. So Lockhart. It just makes me laugh. So she does, this is like where he quizzed them all. And this is Lockhart speaking. But Miss Hermione Granger knew my secret ambition is to rid the world of evil and market my own range of hair care potions. Good girl. In fact, he flipped her paper over. Full marks. Where is Miss Hermione Granger? Hermione raised a trembling hand. Excellent. Quite excellent. Take 10 points for Gryffindor. And so to business. And I said, I think that is just like a really cool introduction to like what they end up using that relationship for, which is to get access to the restricted section.
That's diabolical.
Yes.
And I'm here for it.
I truly think this is one of the first, because like we've said it, there's lots of moments where like we talk about how Hermione does questionable things, right? Duping Lockhart into signing a permission form for the Room of Requirement.
Room of Requirement?
I mean, restricted section.
Room of Requirement?
Is this the start of her escapades? Maybe. I mean, well, lying about the trolls also maybe the start of it.
I think, yeah, I think that could be.
So she says, Professor Lockhart, I wanted to get this book out of the library just for background reading. But the thing is, it's in the restricted section of the library, so I need a teacher to sign for it. I'm sure it would help me understand what you say in Gadding with Ghouls about slow-acting venoms.
This is so much better than when she goes into Borgin and Burks and she's like, how's that weather, you know?
I like that guy right there.
Like, how did she go from this to that, though?
Because that was scary.
She clearly, yeah, maybe. I guess that's more real. This was like a, yeah, I just need a potions book. Silly. I just put a big LOL to that whole moment. Like, it just makes me laugh. And also, she gets a card from him when she's in the hospital.
Sleeps with it under a pillow. Dude, which, that screams younger Tiffany. Oh my Lanta.
Yeah. Me too. It's just it's so funny. So obviously we know, though, she played like the most important role in Chamber even while sleeping.
Yeah.
She solved it all. So it goes. Harry wasn't looking at Hermione's face. He was more interested in her right hand. It lay clenched on top of her blankets, and bending closer, he saw that a piece of paper was scrunched inside her fist. Of the many fearsome beasts and monsters that roam our land, there is none more curious or more deadly than the basilisk, known also as the King of Serpents. The snake, which may reach gigantic size and live many hundreds of years, is born from a chicken's egg hatched beneath a toad. Its methods of killing are most wondrous, for aside from its deadly and venomous fangs, the basilisk has a murderous stare, and all who are fixed with the beam of its eye shall suffer instant death. Spiders flee before the basilisk, for it is their mortal enemy, and the basilisk flees only from the crowning of the rooster, which is fatal to it. And beneath this, a single word had been written in a hand Harry recognized as Hermione's: pipes. It was as though Hermione had just flicked a light on in his brain. "Ron," he breathed, "this is it. This is the answer. The monster in the chamber's a basilisk, a giant serpent."
Maggie, you said crowning of the rooster.
Did I really? Crowing. I was thinking of the crowning.
The crowning.
Yeah,
crowning. It just made me laugh a little bit.
"We now crown the cock-a-doodle-doo."
Tiffany. I'm just saying, it was really hard for me to read all of that.
You did really good.
Thanks.
We love you.
Crowning.
It's dang. Fine.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. We'll see if that episode title sticks. There's still time.
There is still time. There is.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Our best moments are when people don't say things the right way. Azkaban was born out of me not being able to
pronounce things.
So can we now have a joke going forward where we crown people of the rooster?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Prisoner of Azkaban. She's got some fun moments. First of all, and very importantly, is we get Crookshanks.
Yes.
So I'm just going to read the moment that we find out that she got this beautiful cat. "Where's Hermione?" "Probably getting her owl." They made their way back up the crowded street to the magical menagerie. As they reached it, Hermione came out, but she wasn't carrying an owl. Her arms were clamped tightly around the enormous ginger cat. "Who bought that monster?" "You bought that monster."
"Who bought that monster?"
"Gosh darn it.
Who wants this cat?"
"You bought that monster?" said Ron, his mouth hanging open. "He's gorgeous, isn't he?" said Hermione, glowing. That's me and Katie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So just like for some backstory, literally moments before this, this cat tried to eat Scabbers. So I mean,
rightfully so.
Foreshadowing.
Rightfully
Crookshanks
so.
Crookshanks knows what's up. Mm-hmm.
Crookshanks knew. That was a matter of opinion, thought Harry. The cat's ginger fur was thick and fluffy, but it was definitely a bit bow-legged, and its face looked grumpy and oddly squashed, as though it had run headlong into a brick wall. Now that Scabbers was out of sight, however, the cat was purring contentedly in Hermione's arms.
Oh, I love that she got a cat.
A wee cat.
A ginger cat.
So cute. And then this is such... I love this moment. So we talked a little bit about how Harry and Ron can, like, they help Hagrid. They definitely, like, they value their friendship with Hagrid, but, like,
they help him so much differently than Hermione does.
Yes.
Like, all that stuff with, like, the hearing and whatever, like, Harry and Ron wouldn't have been able to do that. So I love that they use their gifts, I guess. We all have gifts.
Right.
In different ways to help him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Harry is the one who's always thinking to include him.
Right.
Whether it be like, let's go and see him. Let's, you know, let Hagrid know this or that. But Hermione is the one.
What does Ron do for him?
Ron helped him with Norbert. I mean, he got bit, but he did go and like feed Norbert and stuff with him.
Ron just,
I think Ron's kind of like dragged into the situation, if you will, because like, and I don't blame him for being afraid of literally most things that go on, because if you think about like the Fall of the Spiders situation, if you think about Norbert,
he was following,
he's always
Harry
a little hesitant. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you know, that's just Ron's
give me
role
if
sometimes.
Discord, if our Discord patrons can think of ways that Ron like
he gives Hagrid updates on Charlie. Yeah. That's helpful.
What? How many?
I mean, it is Ron who connects him with Charlie to help Norbert.
Okay, one way, first book. Give me more. I need more. It's not that I don't love Ron. I just, I want to remember all the good stuff.
So helping Hagrid with Buckbeak, this is a huge moment that I love for Hermione. So Hagrid, because Hagrid and Hermione. Okay, so hold on. This is Ron is mad at Hermione because of the whole Scabbers Crookshanks situation. So they're like not talking right now because he thinks that Crookshanks killed Scabbers, I think, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Hermione and Hagrid have been spending time together because Ron won't spend time with Hermione. And she's been helping Hagrid with the trial. So Hagrid goes, I got something to discuss with you two. Sitting himself between them and looking uncharacteristically serious. What? Said Harry. Hermione, said Hagrid. What about her? Said Ron. She's in a right state, that's what. She's been coming down to visit me a lot since Christmas. Been feeling lonely. Mm. First you weren't talking to her because of the firebolt. Now you're not talking to her because her cat ate Scabbers, Ron interjected angrily. Because her cat acted like all cats do, Hagrid continued doggedly. Yeah. She's cried a fair few times, you know, going through a rough time at the moment. Bitten off more than she can chew, if you ask me. All the work she's trying to do. Still found time to help me with Buckbeak's case, mind. She's found some really good stuff for me. Reckon he'll stand a good chance now. Hagrid, we should have helped as well. Sorry, Harry began awkwardly. I'm not blaming you, said Hagrid. Waving Harry's apology aside, God knows you've had enough to be getting on with. I've seen you practicing Quidditch every hour of the day and night, but I gotta tell you, I thought you two valued your friend more than broomsticks or rats, that's all.
I mean,
I do think, too, like, the whole... Okay, so one of my favorite things about Hermione is, like, her activism. Mm-hmm. And I think that like helping him with this case with Buckbeak kind of was like the start of it, because Goblet is when we really start to get into her activism.
Yes.
And I think that like finding this like legal stuff for him, I wonder if that kind of like spewed this thought process for her and turned her into the Hermione that we see going forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
and then she becomes minister.
Exactly. It's like, it's like this domino effect, you know? It's like she, I don't know. I love it. Because who says to her, like, she should go into magical law? Is it Scrimgeour? It is Scrimgeour.
Yeah. So in 7, she's like, no, I want to do something good in the world. Do some good in the world or something like that.
I just love her. One of the best moments of Prisoner, decking Malfoy in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Oh, should we hit each other? No. But it happened.
Slaps him.
But it happened.
Yeah. Look at him blubber. Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle had been standing just inside the castle doors listening. Have you ever seen anything quite as pathetic? Said Malfoy. And he's supposed to be our teacher. Harry and Ron both made furious moves towards Malfoy, but Hermione got there first. Smack! She had slapped Malfoy across the face with all the strength she could muster. Malfoy staggered.
Yeah.
So, that is just like a super BA moment.
I mean, BA Malfoy moment. Was being horrid.
That was awful.
Okay, we're not making excuses for somebody hitting somebody else. Because, yes, we know in our right minds that you're not supposed to do that. That's not the reaction you're supposed to have. But people are human and sometimes can't channel emotions in the most well thought out way. And you just do what you do. It's kind of like when I asked James for a kiss and he goes to kiss me and he gets so excited that he ends up biting me. Right. He has big feelings and he can't control them.
Right. Right. And she's been through it this year. You know?
Mm-hmm.
She's at her wit's end.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's gone through a lot. Okay. Goblet. We're getting there. We're getting there. So I just thought little introduction of her, like, finding out who Crumb was a little bit important. So Ron, Crumb, said Ron quietly. What? Said Hermione. Crumb. Victor Crumb, the Bulgarian seeker. He looks really grumpy, said Hermione, looking around at the many Crumbs blinking and scowling at them.
Looks really grumpy. You like grumpy things, though. Crookshanks looks grumpy.
True.
Ron
and
can be grumpy.
She likes Crumb enough to make out with him. You know she does. Okay, so one of my favorite moments is SPW.
Barf.
Inside were about 50 badges, all of different colors, but all bearing the same letters. SPEW. Spew, said Harry, picking up a badge, looking at it. What's this about? Not spew, said Hermione impatiently. It's SPEW. Stands for the Society for the Promotion of Elfish Welfare. Never heard of it, said Ron. Well, of course you haven't, said Hermione briskly. I've only just started it. Yeah? Said Ron in mild surprise. How many members have you got? Well, if you two join, three, said Hermione. And you think we want to walk around wearing badges saying spew, do you? Said Ron. S-P-E-W, said Hermione hotly. I was going to put stop the outrageous abuse of our fellow magical creatures and campaign for a change in their legal status, but it wouldn't fit. So that's the heading of our manifesto.
That was so well read. That was spot on.
Truly though, Hermione, like, you could have picked something else that didn't spell spew.
Yeah.
It's catchy, Katie.
I think it's just perfect because of her relationship with Ron, and he definitely capitalizes on that.
Why isn't it ELF, Elfish Liberation Federation?
Oh,
her liberating Katie. Federation.
She needed a marketer.
All I can think of is the Santa Claus. What are they called? What's the elf team called?
Oh my God.
Or elves with attitude.
With attitude? What are they called?
Oh, I'm going to look it up.
Oh man.
Okay. Yule Ball.
Oh my gosh. Look at Fozzie. He's so cute.
Fozzie. They cut your hairs too short.
My ears look silly.
He's so adorable.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we all know the moment with the Yule Ball. She is going with Crumb. She gets herself all dolled up and she has her stare moment. Which is amazing.
Her stare moment. Kiss me beneath the Milky Twilight.
Yes, Katie.
It stands for the Effective Liberating Flight Squad.
Yes.
Elves.
Attitude.
Yes, as Jill says, she's Cinderella in this moment. I like that moment. I think that it is good for her.
It is.
And also, Harry and Ron's reaction to her going with Crumb is just, well, okay.
As well, okay.
One of the more controversial Hermione moments in the entire series is Rita. And this happens.
Are we on a first name basis?
And this happens at the end of Goblet, as we know. So I love this moment. Okay. Oh, Rita hasn't written anything at all since the third task, said Hermione in an oddly constrained voice. As a matter of fact, she added, her voice now trembling slightly, Rita Skeeter isn't going to be writing anything at all for a while. Not unless she wants me to spill the beans on her. What are you talking about? Said Ron. I found out how she was listening in on private conversations when she wasn't supposed to be coming onto the grounds, said Hermione in a rush. Bugging, said Hermione happily. But you said they didn't work. Oh, not electric bug. Not electronic bugs.
Electric bugs.
What is the electric?
I am a bug.
What's the electric Pokemon that's a bug? It's like yellow.
There's a spider.
Electabuzz is what I was thinking.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the spider. What spider? There's an electric spider and I can't remember his name.
I can picture it.
Spider Pokemon.
There's electronic so many grounds bugs. At the bottom of this.
Oh, is Joltik there? And Galvantula. Oh,
Joltik. Is it Joltik
those
red?
Those aren't real.
No, he's yellow.
Oh.
He's cute for a spider.
For a spider.
Oh, not electronic bugs, said Hermione. No, you see, Rita Skeeter. Hermione's voice trembled with quiet triumph.
She's just like been waiting.
She literally has been waiting to tell somebody about this. Is an unregistered animagus. She can turn. Hermione pulled a small sealed glass jar out of her bag into a beetle. You're kidding, said Ron. You haven't. She's not. Oh, yes, she is, said Hermione happily, brandishing the jar at them.
Poor Rita, she's like, look, shaking the jar.
Oh,
inside
my God.
Were a few twigs and leaves and one large fat beetle. That's never. You're kidding, Ron whispered, lifting the jar to his eyes. No, I'm not, said Hermione, beaming. I caught her on the windowsill in the hospital wing.
Can you imagine that moment of, like, I bet Hermione saw her and, like, her mind just, like, whizzed.
Yes.
And was like, oh, my God. Where did she just, like, conjure a jar, pop her in there? Rita would never have seen it coming.
No.
Is it questionable?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it still a good moment? I think so.
I think agree. So.
Also, This is fiction. Nobody is putting people as bugs in jars. So can we not?
As long as she poked holes in the top. I mean, what's the problem?
She was feeding her. There were twigs and leaves in there. I mean, come on.
Hold on. When you question, when you're an animagus, do you like
crave the food that that form eats?
Or like, are you able to eat it even if maybe you don't like it? So like,
probably.
Yeah, like if you're a bug, would you eat like that like, kind of vegetation or something?
I don't think she'd be out here eating
a burger as a beetle.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine? I don't think their systems could handle it.
Guys, yes, that's absolutely kidnapping. We are not condoning it, but you know.
For sure.
She did it. So, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Order of the Phoenix. Some more questionable Hermione Granger activities.
Oh, boy.
So first of all, I just want to say, honestly, the creation of the Dumbledore's Army parchment being, like, enchanted, as questionable as it is, it's also freaking genius, okay? So she says, well, and you can sort of hear it since we now know that it's enchanted. You can hear it in Hermione talking.
It's in the plan.
That she's about to make you sign a contract.
Yeah.
Even though she's not explicitly stating that. So it says, right, well, we'll try to find somewhere, said Hermione. We'll send a message round to everybody when we've got a time and a place for the first meeting. She rummaged in her bag and produced parchment and a quill, then hesitated, rather as though she was steeling herself to say something. I think everybody should write their name down, just so we know who was here. But I also think, she took a deep breath, that we all ought to agree not to shout about what we're doing. So if you sign, you're agreeing not to tell Umbridge or anyone else what we're up to. So
silence.
I mean, that is a contract.
It is. Yeah. You're right. Now that you reread it, you can tell she's like she's there's like, some magic in it.
The whole like she hesitated as though she's trying to figure out what she wants to say because to maybe the enchantment she put on it needs to be activated by like what she says.
Yeah. Kind of like the Marauder's Map or something.
Right. You know? Yeah. So she's like, okay, I'm laying out the terms right now. So she was like trying to figure out what to say. Nobody raised objections after Ernie, though Harry saw Cho's friend give her a rather reproachful look before adding her name. When the last person, Zacharias, had signed, Hermione took the parchment back and slipped it carefully into her bag. There was an odd feeling in the group now. It was as though they had just signed some kind of contract.
Odd feeling is magic.
Right? That's like the binding of the magical contract.
I think maybe. Okay, so. So.
Wait a minute. Did she create the consequence for breaking the contract, or is that just magic itself?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure she did it.
Because if you think about the extreme of the Triwizard Cup and the binding magical contract, if you think about the extreme of the unbreakable vow, what if it's just magic doing whatever? What if she didn't know what it would do?
It's possible. Maybe she just knew that there would be a consequence that wasn't life-threatening.
Yeah.
What happens if you don't compete in the Triwizard? Is it death, too?
I don't think it's... I don't know. I don't think that they ever, like, have done it, so they don't know what the consequence is.
Okay.
That's an interesting question, though. So more brilliant magic from Hermione, though, is the coins.
I think that sneak could be magic itself, though, because what she's saying and how she's enchanting this piece of paper into a contract, what if it, I mean, magic itself feels sentient and like it knows what's going on.
And it can reveal itself in ways.
And it knows that Marietta went out of her way. Mm-hmm. What if it just chose its own consequence for whatever that person did?
That's
and
true.
Marietta was a sneak about it, so it wrote sneak.
Yeah,
what if because it wanted like, to be funny and it wrote like poop on her face?
I feel like magic like is that way. Oh, yeah.
But like if somebody had ratted them out in a different way, maybe the consequence would have been different. That's what you're saying, right?
Would have been different, or it would have written something different.
Right.
You know, I don't know if she's like putting into this as she's creating this enchantment, like
write sneak and pustules that right. won't go away for years or maybe not at all on whoever's head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's just a thought.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't know that she knew there would be a consequence, but she didn't know what it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's fair.
It's just a thought.
Huh.
Okay. The coins. So I love this. And I also love how they come back into the picture in Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows. Mm-hmm. So Hermione soon devised a very clever method of communicating the time and date of the next meeting to all the members in case they needed to change it at short notice, because it would look so suspicious if people from different houses were seen crossing the Great Hall to talk to each other too often. She gave each of the members of the DA a fake galleon. You see the numerals around the edge of the coins, Hermione said, holding one up for examination at the end of their fourth meeting. The coin gleamed fat and yellow in the light from the torches. On real galleons, that's just a serial number referring to the goblin who cast the coin. On these fake coins, though, the numbers will change to reflect the time and date of the next meeting. The coins so will grow cool. hot when the date changes, so if you're carrying them in a pocket, you'll be able to feel them. We take one each, and when Harry sets the date of the next meeting, we'll change the numbers on this coin. On his coin, and because I've put a protean charm on them, they'll all change to mimic his.
I'm going to look up exactly what that is.
It's freaking ingenious. And yeah, so basically, Terry Boot is just like so impressed that she can cast the protean charm.
Yeah.
And then...
I think, is it protean?
Protean?
I don't know how to say that.
I feel
that.
Like I always said protein.
It would be a long E. Protein.
Protean charm.
When two vowels go walking, Megan, the first one does the talking. So it'd be protein, like you're meeting protein.
Mm.
But it's also a word I don't know. So it could be a different pronunciation.
Let's see. Okay. And then the last thing is... lying to Umbridge is so BA at the end of this book.
Oh yeah, she did a great job.
And even like the way that she like acts it out. So she goes, I'm sorry everyone, but I can't stand it. That's right, girl, said Umbridge, seizing Hermione by the shoulders, thrusting her into the abandoned chintz chair and leaning her over. Now then, with whom was Potter communicating just now? Well, gulped Hermione into her hands. Well, he was trying to speak to Professor Dumbledore. And we know she goes on to tell Umbridge about how like a weapon is ready, and then she's going to go show it to her, and it's just to delay time.
Yeah.
She just literally on a whim came up with all of this, and it literally like changed the course of the ending of the book.
Mm-hmm.
She's just awesome in that way.
She really is. She knows exactly what she's doing.
And then I actually kind of had trouble pulling moments for Half-Blood Prince.
It's very Harry-centered.
Yeah. So it was really just, you know, the keeper tryouts, I think, is like a cute moment where she like really wants Ron to get it. So she confunds McLagan.
Mm-hmm.
However, then because Ron gets on the Quidditch team, the whole Ron and Lavender thing happens, and that makes her big sad.
Big sad.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give us some really great Harry Hermione friendship moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole, he had no idea what to say to her. He was just wondering whether there was any chance that she had not noticed Ron, but she had merely left the room because the party was a little too rowdy, when she said in an unnaturally high-pitched voice, Ron seems to be enjoying the celebrations. Just sad. And then, obviously, a pug no.
Oh.
with the birds to Ron.
And she's very physical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. That's what I got.
Oh, man. My turn now?
Yeah. How did I do time-wise? Okay, not too bad.
Not 40 too shabby.
Minutes.
Not too shabby. Not an hour and 40 minutes.
You beat me to it, dang it.
I also feel like I'm a long-winded speaker, so.
But Dumbledore has, I mean, so does Hermione, but I don't know. So I picked Remus Lupin, who's surprised. No one, okay, thought so. So he's not in book one. He's not in book two. So let's start at Prisoner of Azkaban, right?
Yes.
So I just love his introduction that we get. You know, we've got Peeves singing Loony Loopy Lupin. And Remus is just like cool, calm, collected, right? And like all the students are like, what's he gonna do? Like,
probably an old school song from back in school days.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
That's for what sure. I was saying. I was like, do you think that like Peeves is really happy that he's back?
Probably because
shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he has the same respect for Fred and George that he does, like, I'm sure it's the same for the Marauders.
Yeah.
You know, like they're up to no good, right?
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And all the kids are like, oh my God, like Peeves is teasing a teacher, and Remus is just like so cool about it and, you know, shoots gum up his nose. And Dean is like, cool, sir.
Cool, sir.
Which is just so amazing.
I wonder if that's something he had done before.
Yeah, for sure.
I love the idea that he would have.
I just love that, like, this, you know, Remus comes in, he's got shabby robes, he's the new guy on the block, right? And this, like, earns so much respect from the kids. They instantly just like warm up to him. Plus they're like having their first real practical lesson, because we're not going to talk about Lockhart's lesson, because what was that? Another moment I really like is when he invited Harry to join him for tea when Ron and Hermione were in Hogsmeade without him. One, it's cool because like there's so much backstory we don't know from, like, I mean, he could have been Uncle Remus, right? Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't pan out that way. So like Harry has no idea the connection that they actually have.
Could you imagine though that, like, had Petunia been a decent person, she could have allowed Remus to have a relationship with Harry his whole entire childhood?
It's true.
Like, there's no reason why he couldn't have been a part of Harry's life, besides the fact that Petunia didn't seem to care that any of Lily or James's family or friends had anything to do with Harry for his entire life.
Yeah. Nor would she have ever, like, sought that out.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she didn't even know. I mean, yes, Sirius was imprisoned, but she didn't know
about her.
She really,
added to the list.
She really doesn't have any thing that redeems her, in my opinion.
No. We talked about that a little bit with Ez, and we were like, yeah, Petunia is just so, like, irredeemable.
She had an opportunity, and she squandered it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I could say some choice words about her, but this is a kid-friendly podcast. If you listen to Court, it's a word that we describe Amarantha sometimes.
Yeah.
Oof.
Don't listen to Court, kids. Not for you.
But I just think it's sweet that he has these moments with Harry, because I'm sure at one time he envisioned a very different life with Harry, with his friend's son, you know. Also, like, him agreeing to help Harry learn the Patronus charm against his better judgment, because he's like, it's very advanced, blah, blah, blah. But he needed to learn it. This kid has real trauma in his past. And
I think also at the end of the day, it was really just an opportunity to build a relationship with Harry more than anything. Like, even if Harry couldn't get it, it was an excuse to have one-on-one time with Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His best friend's kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you not just, like, spill all of that? Like, anytime it's brought up, and I'm pretty sure I have a bunch of this in here, but, like, anytime James is brought up, Harry's like, wait, like, did you know him? And he's like, we were friends, and, like, just, like, goes over it. Like, doesn't, like, brushes it off. Like, talk to him.
Tell him how close of friends you were.
Please talk.
But I think feel worthy.
That plus, like, the whole serious thing, he just, like, kind of wants to shut that down, because I think he's, like, very grateful that Dumbledore has him there and doesn't want to, like, look suspicious because he's not. He's not in cahoots with Sirius at this point in time.
Right. He probably doesn't know how to talk about the whole situation either. Because, like, if he tells
how do you explain
Harry
that?
How close he was to James, Harry's going to ask a million questions.
About Sirius, yeah.
Maybe and, he's like, not ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, he gets there eventually.
And then he doesn't. Have time.
Harry does eventually understand their relationship, but yeah, obviously doesn't have as much time as he could have.
Yeah. So this is when Harry and Remus are talking about Dementors, and like, I think Remus is describing like what they do, like a Dementor's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Harry sat stunned for a moment at the idea of someone having their soul sucked out through their mouth, but then he thought of Black. He deserves it, he said suddenly. You think so? Said Lupin lightly. Do you really think anyone deserves that? Yes, said Harry defiantly. For some things. He would have liked to have told Lupin about the conversation he'd overheard about Black and the Three Broomsticks, about Black betraying his mother and father, but it would have involved revealing that he'd gone to Hogsmeade without permission, and he knew Lupin wouldn't be very impressed by that.
He would have.
But think if he had this conversation. It would have forced what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. And he would have had, I mean, I guess he could have shut it down, but like this could have opened up so much.
It's crazy when you're reading a book series like that, like when you're reading any book series or watching any TV show or like just basically taking in a story in whatever way you want to take in a story, how big little decisions can be. And it is kind of scary to think about
in real time life too.
Yes, exactly. You're like, look at how this cannonballed, like in this story that I'm taking in. Let's think about like real time life.
And like we talk me and you talk about that all the time,
right?
About how like our lives just happen to intertwine in the right way and like
to meet.
Yeah, and like, you know, we found our soulmate. And then we talk about my leg, like I made a decision to play soccer and it led to the, you know what I mean,
changed, it's like a whole year plus of our lives,
right? It's like, just like it can vary in its like drasticness.
Yeah,
it's nuts. And it's, yeah, it's in stories that we read, it's in real time life.
In reality, like you hurting your leg, like what other things led to it becoming weak enough to get injured?
Who knows?
Was it your decision to start running? Was it like, who knows, you know?
Was, I mean, like I just read library. Was it the elevator
our
breaking?
Apartment not having a working elevator and having to go up, you know, to the fourth floor a million times and
moving out and everything? Who knows?
Just insane.
Yeah, everything, it's crazy. Okay, also when he covers up for Harry, when Harry gets caught by Malfoy and Snape when he snuck into Hogsmeade, this in the book, like, it does not translate in the movie the same way it does in the book. I remember reading in the book when Harry's like, he's got a stitch in his side, his lungs are on fire because he's racing back in that tunnel to try and get back in time.
To beat Malfoy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Snape finds him, like, dude is sweaty, panting, muddy hands, pockets full of Zonko stuff, and you know what I mean? Like, clearly guilty. And yet somehow gets out of it. So good. But he sticks up for him. And he tells him he's not going to do it again because, you know, you're gambling, your parents' sacrifice, on and on. He puts him in his place.
Yeah.
But I like that he doesn't have the relationship he should have with Harry, but it's still there in a way. There's still a connection. And then his obstacle course final exam. What other teacher has ever done this? So I'm just going to read like a little blurb about it. Professor Lupin had compiled the most unusual exam any of them had ever taken, a sort of obstacle course outside in the sun where they had to wade across a deep peddling pool containing a Grindelow, across a series of potholes full of red caps.
I thought you were going to say red
crap. I almost did. Squish their way across a patch of marsh while ignoring misleading directions from a hinky punk, and then climb into an old trunk and battle with a new boggart. How cool of an exam is that?
The coolest.
I heard you.
Sorry. So cool. Like,
you got Starbucks too?
Yesterday.
Oh.
Put it in my fridge. No ice. It's a hack from Michael Does Disney.
Nice.
I've
done that
him.
Before.
He's on a Disney cruise right now in Alaska.
Yeah, I'm not jealous at all.
What?
Yeah.
Alaska.
Yeah, he and his husband went on a...
It's okay. I'm sure Disney paid for it.
They absolutely did. I also had to put eye drops in. My contacts stink.
I'm sorry.
They're so
sorry.
Like... probably old. I think they're my last pair, though. So I'm like, come on, babies. Anywho.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's definitely the coolest exam that, like, they've ever done. Lupin's exam is sweet.
It's kind of his style, right? That's how he started the year off, practical.
Yeah.
It's, which I would learn so well that way. Yeah. I do not learn by just...
lecture.
Being told or just reading. Like, I need to do the thing.
Yeah. See, I've realized that the way that I learn best is when I see somebody do it.
Yes, that also
helps. And then I then do it. Yeah. So I've been trying to do that. I mean, obviously, as a teacher, I try to do a bunch of different learning styles. So I've been trying to, like...
Yeah.
It's kind of a method called, like, I do, we do, you do.
That's
like,
yep. That's
watch how I me. Learn well. We do it together. You do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that.
Yeah. And then the entire story of Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, which made me literally like, if I wasn't, I was already in love with the series, but that made me absolutely fall in love with the entire series. It's just like there's so many layers to it. So much comes to light. It's this story no one would ever believe, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I always have really big sad feels at the end of this book, like legitimately sad feels whenever I have to read him leaving, because like, one, it's a sucky situation, like he was outed, on and on, plus like he's my favorite character and he leaves and I don't know when I'm gonna see him again.
I love him.
Yeah. I don't know how that got
there. I was highlighting it and I was like, that's not prisoner.
Well, we'll just
he's not in Goblet at all, is he?
No,
I don't think so.
He's mentioned a couple times, but just as like,
I think
that, in Harry's head.
I think that lets you know that he was going through it.
I know.
Post Snape tells your secret.
He had such a good year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a good year and then, and you're making money. You have a decent job. You're back in your one of your favorite places ever. You find out your best friend's like not actually a murderer, but then you find out your other one's a piece of garbage and then everything falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like what Meredith said in the chat. Harry and Lupin would have had so many sweet weekend moments where he could have heard stories about his dad. And I think it would have been healing.
And for mama.
Lupin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, he loved her.
Oh my God. Yeah, let's go.
No!
I'd much rather have Remus ask to look at Harry's eyes than Snape, okay? I'm just saying.
What a weird way to say that. I did not know what you were talking about at first. And I was like, what? Look at Harry's eyes. God.
Look me in the eye.
So no goblet, but then in order, we see him again, which I was like freaking stoked when he showed up to pick Harry up from the Dursleys, which that's not, I don't know if that's,
I was surprised.
Movie.
It was like, oh, that's the team who's come. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm. And like Harry's like genuinely shocked and happy to see him.
Yeah.
He sticks up for Harry at Grimmauld Place while also trying to keep the peace with Molly between Molly and Sirius, and like how much information Harry should know. He's kind of like, he's like me where he'd be like in the middle, like he should know some stuff but not everything. He also sees Harry off to school and like, yes, it's part of the order, but I could like see him having done this if things weren't the way they ended up being.
Yeah.
Then the memory scene, which this used to be my favorite ever chapter ever, but like, you know, now as an adult it's just, you know, a little problematic. But I love seeing glimpses of the, like, nice parts of the Marauders. So, like, when it's just them, not the bullying part. And, of course, like, this is one of my favorite quotes. So, Sirius says, did you like question 10, Moony? And he says, loved it. Give 5 signs that identify the werewolf. Excellent question. Do you think you managed to get all the signs? Said James in tones of mock concern. Think I did, said Lupin seriously, as they joined the crowd thronging around the front doors, eager to get out onto the sunlit grounds. 1, he's sitting in my chair. 2, he's wearing my clothes. 3, his name's Remus Lupin.
Love it.
It's just so funny. Those parts are great. When they're little buttheads to other people and Remus doesn't do anything about it, not cool.
Yeah.
But
he
this
just wants friends.
Mm-hmm. This leads to like Harry being like, my dad was awful. I need to talk to his friends about it. And he like calls them via flu. And they're just like,
Zoom. You like to
this
have
is
a Zoom
wizard
meeting?
Zoom.
Can I have a Zoom meeting, please?
It is like wizard Zoom.
Everybody's here. Fireplaces.
It's definitely FaceTime. It's definitely FaceTime.
It is. It's hilarious. But Harry's all like, my dad was awful. Like, why was he doing this? And they're just sitting there like reminiscing about the old days, right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He used to ruffle up his hair. Oh, yeah. He used to do that thing with the snitch. And they're like, he was 15, Harry. And Harry's like, I'm 15. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Valid, Harry. Valid. You're right. Your dad was a jerk.
When he spends time with the werewolf who shared Mr. Weasley's St. Mungo's room. I thought that was cute. Because, like, Mr. Weasley has all these people around him and then this poor guy all alone. And he just, like, goes over there to talk to him.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a favorite part, but you have to call it out when he has to hold a Harry back at the ministry.
Ah! Katie! Yep,
I know. There's a moment where, like, it describes his voice breaking, and I think it's terrible.
I think, too, that that's a way to hold himself back as well.
Yeah.
He's, I mean,
it's the love of his life that possibly just died.
That I can agree with. But honestly, like, I think you're right. Like, as much as he's holding back, I think he's holding on to Harry so he also doesn't break.
Yeah.
And Harry's now his only
all he has left
person left in connection with that group.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yikes. Okay.
Anyway, let's move on.
The mood down.
This episode is favorite moments, Katie.
Sorry.
Not happy.
Most sad.
Sorry. When you talk about Remus, there's going to be sad. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think you can talk about it in like just happy moments.
So Half-Blood Prince, Harry, I think they're at the Burrow, and he's arguing his point about Snape helping Malfoy. Has it occurred to you, Harry, said Mr. Weasley, that Snape was simply pretending to offer help so he could find out what Malfoy's up to, said Harry quickly. Yeah, I thought you'd say that, but how do we know? It isn't our business to know, said Lupin unexpectedly. It's Dumbledore's business. Dumbledore trusts Severus, and that ought to be good enough for all of us. But, said Harry, just say Dumbledore's wrong about Snape. People have said it many times. It comes down to whether or not you trust Dumbledore's judgment. I do, therefore I trust Severus. And Harry is just, like, absolutely flabbergasted that Remus also isn't, like, holds no grudge against Snape for outing him, third year. He says, the news would have leaked out anyway, but he could have wreaked so much worse damage on me by tampering with my potion. He kept me healthy. I must be grateful. But you're also allowed to have your feels.
I think that the thing with that situation is that Remus learned about holding grudges in an awful way. With Sirius and how, true. Well, not holding grudges per se, but like believing the worst about someone. Without,
wow, like, he lost, deep. I like that.
He lost how many years of friendship because he didn't trust his friend, you know?
But also, we should not be like, oh, he wrecked part of my life, but I should be grateful because he didn't kill me.
I know.
Okay, that's all I have to
say. I know. Tiff just pushed the microphone away.
She's done.
No, I get, but also, like, Remus is just, like, such a damaged person that, like, by no means am I saying it's okay what Snape did, but, not. Like,
it just annoys me.
I think that is why.
A lot.
Because he just thinks about his own regrets and, like, he doesn't want to do that again, but what Snape did was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I realized that he couldn't have had that position
right
at the school,
yeah,
because of the curse. Like, I get that, but, like, why can't we do this a different way?
I know.
Why couldn't he have just said, okay, I did my year, I'm done, and then now we can like go back into the order and do work there? And I just
I don't think I said words, I just grumbled.
We all understood. Valid. Okay, so then I think they're still at the Burrow, and Remus is talking about, or no, I'm not the Burrow. Yes, the Burrow. Oh my god. Remus is talking about how he's underground with the werewolves and how, like, he's trying to explain it to Harry about how they believe, the group of werewolves thinks that, like, they need to revenge themselves on normal people. And Harry goes, but you are normal. You've just got a problem. And this makes him burst out laughing. And he says, sometimes you remind me a lot of James. He called it my furry little problem in company. Many people were under the impression that I owned a badly behaved rabbit. And it's just ridiculous.
Rabbit.
It's another little window into the old days and
wait
the
a
life
minute.
They had.
Who was a rabbit Patronus? Luna?
Luna.
What was Lily's, though? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But I wonder what Lily's was before. Like, would we ever know, though? Because you usually...
Was she ever cast
She
one?
Probably never cast it, yeah. You know?
I think it'd be a fox.
If it was a rabbit, that could mean that she was destined to be with Remus.
True.
Because he has a furry little problem.
What's the symbolism of a rabbit?
And
that's very specific because, like,
furry little problem could be Remus.
Kendra said, yeah. Okay. Kendra in the chat says, why rabbit? If someone had said furry little problem, I'd think of a dog. Also, yeah. Same. Serious. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Or a cat. I would go cat or dog before
I would say
go rabbit.
Dog, just because dogs are
cats
more
aren't
loud.
Furry, Tiffany.
No, dogs are just more loud. Why in Christianity? Rabbits represent rebirth and resurrection. Oh, because of Easter. I don't think that's right.
What website?
As a Christian, I don't agree with that statement. Fertility, luck, and creativity.
Oh, I need a charger. Oh my god, I'm recording. I need to record.
You need to record?
You need to record.
Plug it in right there.
Hurry! Oh my god!
Okay. This is more sad stuff. Sorry. But he has...
Why are these favorite moments, Kate?
They're not. I don't know. I didn't...
What did you do?
Why are you talking about them?
Okay, then I'm done.
Oh. Weep womp. His reaction to Dumbledore's death is on this list.
I said
why is it a favorite?
I said he has the first reaction. I was trying to think of big moments. I didn't understand the assignment.
My favorite moment.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
You can keep going.
Wow. No.
Oh wait, this is a favorite moment. Okay.
Okay.
He tries not to give in to Tonks' affections, but then they're holding hands later at the end of the book. And I thought, yay, give in to it.
Scam them so.
Oh my god.
I need to stop talking okay. now. Before I say more stuff.
I didn't understand you, Shy.
I did, but I just went off on this own little string of tangents. All right, give me some lightning bolts.
Okay, Cassie asks, we actually talked about this a little bit with Ezra too, do we think Crookshanks was the Potter's cat?
No, I think it may have been discredited.
It's a cute,
but it's cute.
Yeah, it's a cute idea.
Yeah.
Okay, I like this other one from Cassie. Rita or Marietta, which is worse?
Marietta's worse.
You think so?
Yeah, she's not going to keep Rita in imprisonment forever.
But she literally kidnapped
I think
somebody.
Rita's worth. She deserved it.
And Marietta didn't? We're going to talk about this
I
later.
I didn't say anything about it.
The Hufflepuff said that.
Oh,
I think
my.
Rita, I think Rita's worse. I think it's definitely more questionable legally.
She wasn't going to keep her forever.
She still kidnapped her.
She put her in a jar temporarily.
For a while, though.
She needed to be contained.
I mean, you're not wrong. But...
I don't know what to say. There's literally no right answer to any of
no,
this.
There's
this
none.
Is like ethics class.
I know.
It's true.
There's literally no... Because there's always a but or a what about.
Yeah.
There's no...
Katie did just pick a side, though.
I did. That was fairly easy for my brain for some reason.
Okay, well, let's see.
I don't like any of it, to be honest. I wish Hermione wouldn't have made any of these choices.
Okay. Sam asks, Hermione being both judge and jury to Rita with the jar, what would you have done differently?
What? Who asked that?
Sam.
Gosh! What was the question? Say it again.
So, like, Hermione being both judge and jury to Rita Skeeter with the jar.
Yeah.
What would you have done differently?
I wouldn't have kidnapped a person. I would have probably scooped her up in my little hannies and put her in Dumbledore's and said, this is your person. She should not have handled that herself.
Yeah.
She should have consulted an adult.
She should have consulted Dumbledore.
Yes.
I will say I probably still would have put her in a jar and taken her to Dumbledore. I wouldn't have brought her on the train with me.
Yeah, okay.
I would have put her in a jar in that sense, which I guess is still kidnapping. But I would have put her in a jar and I would have taken her to Dumbledore. Or I don't know if that's actually what I would have done. That's probably the right thing to do. But I don't know if that's what I
would have went to somebody who is in higher authority than me.
I probably wouldn't have kidnapped her at all, but I would have reported her to the ministry for being an animagus.
Because if there's a spell to make you go from animagus form back to human, there's got to be a spell to force you to go to animagus to prove it, right?
Yeah.
I probably would have, but then I guess maybe I would have had to consult an adult so that the ministry believes me because I was a child.
An adult. Yeah,
when in doubt, consult.
So I guess maybe I would have gone to Dumbledore and been like, report this. She's an unregistered animagus.
I would have 100%
wanted her reported it.
Or I would have, like, under a pseudonym, written an article and submitted it to the Daily Prophet.
They wouldn't have printed it. They love Rita. But,
that's true.
She sells their papers.
Tough. Yeah.
All right, we're going to do two more. Marguerite, what kind of tea does Remus drink? Fun question. I think he likes a good herbal tea.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an herbal tea guy.
Yeah, I'm going to say green tea for energy because he's always feeling down.
That's good, too.
I love green tea.
Okay. And last one.
Sam said chocolate chai tea with cocoa nibs.
Oh, that's a good one. This is an interesting one. KDT asked, do you think students could use the flu head talking thing to talk to their parents if they're like homesick?
I would hope so.
Like, do you think that like the common rooms, like they can utilize those to like contact?
I mean, they were open for forever.
Yeah. They were only closed because of Umbridge, right?
I don't remember.
I feel like that
they were monitored.
Yeah.
Under Umbridge.
Right. So yeah, I would assume that, I would think yeah.
Hers was the only one that wasn't monitored.
Why they went there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Give me your fan story, Kate.
Very good. Okay. I went in and grabbed one that came just a couple days ago.
Ooh.
Right. So this is a 2023 exclusive from Nella, which their name is Daniela, and I thought it was really cute that Nella is what they go by.
That's adorable.
Very cute. Hi, Katie, Megan, and Tiffany. My name is Nella. I'm a huge Potterhead, and as I am writing this, I'm sitting in the 9¾ King's Cross Potter Cafe in Hongdae in South Korea. I may have said that city wrong, but what better place to write you? There is a perfect three broomstick style cafe, Hogwarts-ish music running, and even butterbeer.
That's amazing.
Plus, I am now all caught up with your podcast episodes. I'm currently traveling. Usually, I live in Zurich, Switzerland.
What? You're so cool.
Amazing.
I want to go to Switzerland.
I want to go to all the places.
And South Korea.
First, I wanted to thank you ladies so much for all the time and effort you put into Swish and Flick podcast. I can only fathom how much work goes into it, and I am celebrating how it has grown and the lovely community you created. My Potter story began when I was 13 years old. That's when the first book of the series was published. It was thanks to my mom, who worked at a library, that I knew about Harry Potter right from the start. I remember she showed me a newspaper clipping announcing the Philosopher's Stone, and I commented, this will be super popular. Was I a seer? Tiff comes to mind here. Maybe you can guess what. Always since the first book was released, I was excitedly looking forward to the next one and the day when I could finally get my hands on it. I read the first three books in German and then switched to the English originals. Of course, they are much better than any translation could ever be. The stories and characters of the Potterverse have shaped not only my teenage years, but to this day, I'm discovering something new and worthwhile. And I found you guys. I'm so glad I did. Out of the series, Luna is my favorite character, I guess because I'm a little bit like her and even somewhat look like her. But most of all, I love the lesson she teaches, how important it is to create your own path in life and do what is best for you without caring too much what others might think. In the past, I wasn't always following this lesson. I wanted to be liked more than being true to myself. This is never a good idea, but it is especially difficult for me because I am very creatively inclined. I've grown up to be proud of who I am, my abilities, and I even think being somewhat unconventional in this world is a great thing, just like Luna.
Yes, totally.
I am probably not surprising when you've come this far with my story, a Ravenclaw. My wand is Pearwood with dragon heartstring.
Pearwood?
Yeah, that's cool. 11 and a half inches, unbending, and my Patronus is a Russian blue cat.
Those are beautiful.
I gotta look that up because I don't know what
cat love 100% shared over here with Megan and Katie. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing my story. I hope it has, like so many Potter stories before, touched the heart of someone out there. Lots of love, and don't let the Muggles get you down. Nella.
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 Can you please send us some pictures of that cafe or share with us your Instagram so that I can see them? Yes.
Truly.
That sounds so amazing.
Also, like, I don't know. I really like this story. It gave me happy vibes.
Those kitty cats are cute. That's your Patrona.
They're so pretty.
Yeah.
I really want one of those or an all black cat next.
Wee kee kees.
Yeah.
My sister has an all black one.
Tiffany, stop.
You've seen those cats. They're kikis.
I also, Cassie in the chat says, I love the name Nella. I think that's a beautiful name. I love your name too.
Who wants a chicken joke?
Yes.
Wait, hold on, Nella. Thank you for your story.
I'm sorry.
I got really excited about my
joke. Rooster joke?
It's a rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
What do you call a rooster who wakes you up at the same time every morning? An alarm clock.
An alarm clock.
A jerk.
Don't you wake me up.
Somebody posted the rooster from Robin Hood, the animated one. I was like, yes. So good.
Oh my gosh. Okay. If you would like to follow us all on social media, you can find myself and Katie on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany on Instagram and TikTok at tiffswish_flick.
Yes. So I think we're going to say one of the following, either what we're reading, what we're playing video game wise, or what we're watching.
Yeah.
Okay. Playing Tears of the Kingdom.
Shocked.
Best video game I've ever played in my life. Better than Hogwarts Legacy. I said it. I'm not ashamed. I will say it every day until the end of time.
And I asked her Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, and immediately it was Tears of the Kingdom.
No thought.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like it, and I can say that because no spoilers, but it's like Breath of the Wild, but enhanced.
Yeah,
a million times
over. Because it's new, you know, new technology they had.
Well, and it's the same. It's the same world, but it's not.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to say anything because you're going to play.
I am.
Did you say you were going to play this weekend?
I did.
Is that what it was?
It's not over yet, because especially it's a long weekend, so I also have tomorrow.
Tiffany, I love you so much. Sunday, 10:37 a.m.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am reading / listening to Remarkably Bright Creatures, because I finally got it back from the library after I lost it and then didn't know where I was in it. I'm trying to reorient myself with the story because I didn't have it for a few weeks, but I'm still enjoying it. And also, I am still playing Disney Dreamlight Valley, and I am really liking it. I have come to the point in the game, though, where I have like done all of the main storyline that's out right now. I just need to continue to like level up my friendships to get new quests. So, and there's supposed to be an update coming out in June, so there'll be more
so soon.
Released soon. So
basically tomorrow.
I wonder what characters are going to come.
Guess what? Maybe you shouldn't find out.
I guess really what? I really want Cinderella.
Great.
What if you could have Gus and Jack? They'd be so small cute. Though. Like Buzz and Woody walking around, they're tiny.
Well, they're Remy, isn't it? And he's really hard to find. I'm like, Remy, where are you? All right.
I am reading Assassin's Blade.
Yeah.
I'm maybe like a fourth or a third of the way through.
I was going to say you're about a third of the way through it.
How many
are you? A billion.
Queen of Shadows, Empire of Storms, Tower of Dawn, and Kingdom of Ash.
Thick girls.
Basically,
okay.
I have to read the New York phone book left.
She's about to be halfway through. Yeah. They just get thicker.
Yeah. And I'm playing Pokemon Soul Silver because, you know, why not? I like to play old games.
Tiffany's like, you should also play Breath of the Wild. I could see that look in her eyes. She wants to tell you that.
I also have an extra copy of Tears of the Kingdom that I will let you buy from me. Oh, gosh.
There was no bingo.
If Gryffindor didn't win today, I will lose my mind.
Kendra's like, can the host just randomly yell out bingo tiles?
Yeah, Kendra, what do you need? I'll help the Slytherin out.
No!
Oh, God, that's funny.
Ohio.
Oh, my God. Get out of town.
Etsy.
That doesn't count. Etsy.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Where are we in the house cup?
Also, I have to add in trivia points. And I think I've decided that I'm really going to bulk up the top three. You guys are going to get a lot of points. I just want to change it up, you know?
Okay.
I think it's going to be 1,000 points for first place, 500, 750 for second, and 500 for third.
Wow.
I mean, why not?
I don't. I mean, it's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
You know, and that and like going forward, that's what we'll do. But I think it should be like a lot. You know,
it should be a lot.
That was hard.
Cassie said participation points should be 250.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
I don't remember what we made it last time, but yeah, we can. I mean,
it's a big deal to show up.
Yeah, for sure. Participation 250. Yeah,
smile.
I'm down for that. Okay, done, guys. Woo! Thanks for the idea. 250 to participate in trivia.
That quiz was so hard.
It was extremely hard.
Yeah, it was awful.
I mean, yeah, Amy Lou, I'm cool with it. Amy got bingo.
No, she didn't.
All right, fine. Whatever. But then I guess you said Ohio first. I don't know. I want to be out of this.
I don't know what's going on. Marty asked me what I wanted from Target, and I started rattling off things, and he's like, no, you asked for something specific, and now I can't remember what I said.
Oh, it's the worst.
I don't know what I said. Oh, rubber gloves for washing dishes. Rubber gloves!
Nope, Sam, I'm not picking a side this time. I do not want to be involved. I'd like to be removed from this narrative, please. Excused from this narrative. Thank you.
That episode's coming up where you have to pick sides.
Yeah, it's gonna be real fun. Just kidding, it will be fun.
Some of them are gonna be really easy for you because I was answering them in my head for you as I was doing it.
Thanks.
I was like, yeah. she's gonna say this. All right, so what are the things,
the standings?
Oh, this is before trivia, just so everybody knows. I'm gonna put that in later today. Ravenclaw is in first with 12,423. Hufflepuff's in second with 11,862. Slytherin's in third with 11,825. And Gryffindor's in fourth with 10,585. So participation in trivia could change all of those.
Oh my God.
And we'll see. Just want to look at Tiffany and say there were a lot of Gryffindors there. So.
See, Griff's like last recording
showed up today. Yeah. We showed up today. I'm
not
really
too long
proud.
Ago. I don't remember who it was, but they're like, bro, I guess we should just give up. And we're like, no, Gryffindors, don't give up.
Yeah, you guys have been showing up. It's
the last
awesome.
Day for the House Cup is gonna be the end of June. I've decided. We're just gonna have it go through the end of June. We'll announce the winner July 1st, and we'll start it fresh at the first recording in July. For the
Perfect.
Next year.
Oh my god, I can't believe it's been a year of tallying points.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because it felt like when we started it, I was like, that's
summer.
Gonna be a while.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
It's been really fast.
Love it.
CJ, I literally joined Discord to help with the House Cup. Gryffindor.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Sam, I don't think you're gonna want golf scores because I think that Gryffindor might Gryffindor might get a ton of points because of trivia. So
we'd love this.
All right.
Okay. This one's for the Gryffindors,
sure,
I think.
Sure.
Because they were
Every
dominating the chat.
We picked was a Gryffindor.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Tiffany.
This is for the Lions. All right, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the Muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just in my voice.
I guess you better talk fast. And this episode is sponsored by
I was gonna say Shayna. Oh.
We think it's Shauna.
My brain was like Shayna.
Say it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.